Shri Ti Vichakrame Vishvan Shashanana Shane Ube Yad Avidya Cha Vidya Cha Purushas Tu Bayashtraya Shri Ti, the destination of the living entities. Vichakrame exists comprehensively. Vishvan, the all-pervading personality of Godhead. Shashana, activities of lording it over. Anashane, activities in devotional service. Ube, both. Yat, what is? Avidya, nations. Cha, as well as. Vidya, factual knowledge. Cha, and. Purusha, the Supreme Person. Tu, but. Ubaya, for both of them. Ashraya, the Master. Translation of Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nations and factual knowledge of all situations. Purport. The word Vishvan is significant in this verse. One who travels perfectly in every field of activity is called a Purusha or Kshetraya. These two terms, Kshetraya and Purusha, are equally applicable to both the individual self and the Supreme Self, the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the matter is explained as follows. Kshetragyam cha pimangvidi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetragya yor jnana yat taj jnanam matang mama. Kshetra means the place, and one who knows the place is called the Kshetragya. The individual self knows about his limited field of activities, but the Supreme Self, the Lord, knows about the unlimited field of activities. The Supreme Individual Soul knows about his own thinking, feeling, and willing activities, but the Super Soul, or the Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, being present everywhere, knows everyone's thinking, feeling, and willing activities. And as such, the individual living entity is the minute master of his personal affairs, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of everyone's affairs, past, present, and future. Vedahang Samati Tani, etc. Only the ignorant person does not know this difference between the Lord and the living entities. The living entities, as distinguished from incognizant matter, may be qualitatively equal to the Lord in cognizance. But the living entity can never be equal to the Lord in full knowledge of past, present, and future. And because the living entity is partially cognizant, he is therefore sometimes forgetful of his own identity. This forgetfulness is specifically manifested in the field of the Ekapad Vibhuti of the Lord, or in the material world, but in the Tripad Vibhuti field of actions, or in the spiritual world, there is no forgetfulness by the living entities, who are free from all kinds of contaminations resulting from the forgetful state of existence. The material body is the symbol of the gross and subtle form of forgetfulness. Therefore, the whole atmosphere of the material world is called avidya or nations, whereas the whole atmosphere of the spiritual world is called vidya or full of knowledge. There are different stages of avidya, and they are called dharma, artha, and moksha. The idea of moksha, or liberation, held by the monist in the matter of oneness of the living entity and the Lord by ultimate merging in one, is also the last stage of materialism or forgetfulness. Knowledge of the qualitative oneness of the self and super self is partial knowledge and ignorance also because there is no knowledge of quantitative difference. As explained above, the individual soul can never be equal to the Lord in cognizance. Otherwise, he would not be placed in the state of forgetfulness. So because there is a stage of forgetfulness of the individual selves or the living entities, there is always a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entity, as between the part and the whole. The part is never equal to the whole. So the conception of 100% equality of the living being with the Lord is also nescience. In the field of nescience, activities are directed toward lording it over the creation. In the material world, therefore, everyone is engaged in acquiring material uplands to lord it over the material world. Therefore, there is always clash and frustration, which are the symptoms of nescience. But in the field of knowledge, there is devotional service to the Lord, bhakti. Therefore, there is no chance of being contaminated by the influence of nescience or forgetfulness, avidya, in the liberated stage of devotional activities. The Lord is thus the proprietor of the fields both of nescience and of cognition. And it remains the choice of the living entity to exist in either of the above regions. Om Ayana Chimirandasya Vinanjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Anshakapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvevacha Patanam Pangyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sriti vichakrame vishvan shashana shane ube yad avidya cha vidya cha purushas tubayashraya. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nations and factual knowledge of all situations. So here is the Prabhupada talks about the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And he mentions here the verse 13.3, because here Arjuna asks immediately Krishna, answered by Krishna, the field of activities, eller aktivitetsområdet. Og så spør han om prakriti også, og purusha. Hva denne naturen, og hva det levende vesen? Så her Krishna svarer jo da dette verset som Prabhupada siterer her i denne rapporten. Etter at Arjuna har spurt. Og så sier han opp part, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. While discussing the subject of the body and the knower of the body, the soul and the supersoul, we shall find three different topics of study: the Lord, the living entity, and matter. In every field of activities, in every body, there are two souls, the individual soul and the supersoul. Because the supersoul is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna says, I am also the knower, but I am not the individual knower of the body. I am the super knower. I am present in every body as the Paramatma or supersoul. One who studies the subject matter of the field of activities and the knower of the field very minutely in terms of this Bhagavad Gita can attain to knowledge. Så Prabhupada, han forklarer at kshetra betyr stedet, denne kroppen. Det er stedet vi handler på, så dette er en liten annen måte å se verden på enn vi lærer fra skole og oppvekst. Altså denne kroppen, det er handlingsfeltet. Vi tenker at handlingsfeltet er utenfor kroppen. Men det er kroppen, er handlingsfeltet. Og Prabhupada nevner også at Krishna han husker alt, han vet alt hva som har skjedd i fortiden, han kjenner alle levende vesene, og så nevner han dette her at at vi er kvalitativt equal to the Lord in cognizance. But the living entity can never be equal to the Lord in full knowledge of past, present, and future. Qualitative equal, det vil si at in cognizance is at sånn, om det er evig, full av kunnskap og lykke. Mens materie er liksom bare dødt. Det har liksom ingen av disse egenskapene. Så akkurat som vi er evige, fulle av lykke og fulle av kunnskap, så er Krishna det også. Men Krishna, han glemmer aldri hvem han er. Han glemmer aldri, men det gjør vi da. Vi glemmer hvem vi er. Og det er ganske tydelig at vi gjør det, ikke sant? Det er ganske tydelig at vi gjør det. Bare... vi kommer inn i assosiasjon med et eller annet sansenytende objekt, og så glemmer vi hvem vi er. Og Prabhupada nevner at det er forskjellige steder av denne avidya, da, altså denne uvitenheten, denne glemsomheten. At denne demonistene da, som ønsker å bli ett med Krishna, er også liksom materialisme da. Det er også glemsomhet. Det er også et nivå av dette med glemsomhet da. Å bli ett med Krishna. Så det er mye vi må renses fra da. All denne all denne materialismen. Så de fleste, hvis de er opptatt av åndelig liv, så kommer de litt til dette upersonlige først. Dette smelte sammen med. Så hvis det var noe sånn at vi var ett med Gud, at Krishna og alle de levende vesene er det samme, men så gir det ikke noe mening. Hvordan har det der seg da at hvis vi var full av evig lykke og kunnskap som Gud, hvordan kunne vi da bli glemme det? Hvordan kunne vi da bli dekket over? So Prabhupada says, because there is a stage of forgetfulness of the individual selves, for the living entities, there is always a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entity, as between the part and the whole. The conception of 100% equality of the living being with the Lord is also nations. Yeah. So det som Det som skjer med når man tenker vil bli ett med Krishna at vi prøver å herske over denne naturen. Og da kommer vi ingen vei. Så i Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada skriver i purporten, the Lord says, I am the knower of the field of activities in every individual body. The individual may be the knower of his own body, but he is not in knowledge of other bodies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present as a super soul in all bodies, knows everything about all bodies. He knows all the different bodies of all the various species of life. A citizen may know everything about his patch of land, but the king knows not only his palace, but all the properties possessed by the individual citizens. Similarly, one may be the proprietor of the body individually, but Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all bodies. The king is the original proprietor of the kingdom, and the citizen is the secondary proprietor. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the supreme proprietor of all bodies. The body consists of the senses. The Supreme Lord is Rishikesh, which means the controller of the senses. He is the original controller of the senses. Just as the king is the original controller of all the activities of the state, the citizens are secondary controllers. The Lord says, I am also the knower. This means that he is the super knower. The individual soul knows only his particular body. In the Vedic literature, it is stated as follows, Kshetrani hi sharirani bijam chape shubhashubhe tani veti sayogatma tata kshetra gya uchate. These bodies called the Kshetra, and within it dwells the owner of the body and the Supreme Lord, who knows both the body and the owner of the body. Therefore he is called the knower of all fields. The distinction between the field of activities, the knower of activities, and the supreme knower of activities is described as follows. Perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and the constitution of the supersoul is known in terms of Vedic literature as Jnana. That is the opinion of Krishna. To understand both the soul and the supersoul as one yet distinct is knowledge. One who does not understand the field of activities and the knower of activity is not only in perfect knowledge, is not in perfect knowledge. One has to understand the position of Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishvara, the knower who dominates or controls nature and the individual soul. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. Prabhupada makes a nice example. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. Easel is the thing you use to paint. Okay. So the you have the painter, Purusha. You have the you have the painter, Ishvara, and you have the painting, Purusha, and you have Prakriti, the easel. This material world, which is the field of activities, is nature. An enjoyer of nature is the living entity, and above them both is the supreme controller, the personality of God. It is stated in the Vedic language in Shvetashvatara Upanishad 1.12, Bhokta Bhogyan Preritaran cha matva sarvan proktan trividan brahman etat. There are three Brahman conceptions. Prakriti is Brahman as the field of activities, and the jiva, individual soul, is also Brahman and is trying to control material nature, and the controller of both of them is also Brahman, but he is the factual controller. In this chapter it will also be explained that out of the two knowers, one is fallible and the other is infallible. One is superior and the other is subordinate. One understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who states here very clearly, I am also the knower of the field of activity. One who misunderstands a rope to be a serpent is not in knowledge. There are different kinds of bodies, and there are different owners of the bodies. Because each individual soul has his individual capacity for lording it over material nature, there are different bodies. But Supreme also is present in them as their controller. The word chai is significant, for it indicates the total number of bodies. That is the opinion of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana. Krishna is the super soul present in each and every body, apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that real knowledge is to know that the super soul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. It's quite interesting here. Perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and the constitution of the super soul is known in terms of Vedic literature as jnana. So this is knowledge. And and we know that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he instructed Sanatana Goswami in basically all the knowledge we have here in this moment, basically. And he was very specific about this, the difference between the living entity and the supreme living entity. And he says that this is actually, it's to think that the living entity and the super soul is one, is like the last snare of mind. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much, he called the Mayavadis great offenders. Great offenders. Greatest offenders. They chop me up, he said. They chop me up. Because they say, I have no arms, I have no form. God has no form. He's just impersonal. So Lord Chaitanya, he very much avoided the Mayavadis. He didn't associate with them intimately. But at one point he actually accepted an invitation from them. You know, Mayavadis is also the invite, you know. And then Lord Chaitanya, he came to Varanasi one time. And they invited him. Come to our mat, take lunch together with us. But he didn't want to come. He didn't want to come. No, so no, I'm not coming. There was two devotees of Lord Chaitanya living there. Tapana Mishra and who was the other one? No, they were devotees of Lord Chaitanya, but they were staying in Varanasi. They were living there, and they couldn't. It was very painful for them to always hear, you know, that they blaspheme Lord Chaitanya. They think he's sentimental. You know, devotees are sentimental. They don't really have knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. They're just sitting there in the street singing, you know. They have no, they don't. They just sit there and sing because they have nothing better to do. Yeah, no. So Lord Chaitanya, he didn't associate with them. And they criticize him. Why are you running around crying? No singing. You should sit down, study. Study the Vedas. No, read the Vedas. Be very austere. Everything very, 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 very regulated. And why are you associating with all these other fallen people? Married people. So they were coming heavy down on him like that. But one time he accepted an invitation because his devotees, they couldn't tolerate all the criticism. Lord Chaitanya, so he decided, okay, I will do something. So immediately when Lord Chaitanya desired something, he decided, oh, okay, I will accept an invitation. Ding dong, there's a man on the door, you know, inviting him. It just happened immediately. It's a Brahmana coming, inviting him to the sannyasis, to take lunch with the sannyasis, the Mayavadis. And then he went there. He accepted, okay, I will go. And what he did first, one of the important aspects of this story. I think you have to be very influential or very powerful or very empowered to do this, what Lord Chaitanya did. I mean, he could do it because he's God. So he went to the Mayavadis. He sat down where everyone washes their feet. You know, all the Mayavadis were sitting on high seats, you know, around. And he just sat down where everyone washes their feet. And then he manifested his effulgence. Because the Mayavadis are very into effulgence. Who has the best effulgence? because they're always talking about Brahman. Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. You know, light, knowledge. So he manifested effulgence was like, you know, billion times more than what I have seen before. You know, supreme effulgence. And they were attracted to him. So this was the first thing. He was very humble. That's also attracted them. So these two things. He was attracted. They became attracted because he was so humble. And they told, oh, why are you, don't sit down there. Come on, you sit up with us. We know from the Bible also. You know, Jesus had this saying about when you sit, you come as a guest, you sit around a chair, you sit around a table, you don't sit yourself next to the king or, you know, the master. A humble person, he sets himself far away, very humbly. And then he is invited. Oh, you come, please sit here. That's the way, you know. So he showed this, and then they were so attracted by his effulgence. So both his humility and his being especially empowered to preach to convert Mayavadis. You have to be very, I mean, if you're a very famous person on this planet or something like that, then you can have some influence on them. Then they become attracted. Okay, let's hear what he has to say. And that was the thing. They were willing to hear what he has to say. And that changed them. Because first they presented their thing, and then they asked him, so what do you, they wanted to hear from him, what do you say about what we're saying here? And then he completely smashed them. And then he said in a very nice way, he said that Shankaracharya made a mistake. You know, he explained all about how the Mayavad philosophy is wrong. and they became and they understood. But if you're not empowered and like that, we have no chance with the Mayavadis. They are the greatest demons. So better for us to avoid them and let somebody else take care of them. Yeah. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. And he glorifies the saints. And he says, even though a person is a very learned scholar in the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, that's like the Mayavadis, they might be very learned, he's not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activity or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. So, and the Mayavadis are very concerned, also born in Brahmana families, you know, and with the sannyas and everything. But here we see a very nice verse. One may be born in a Brahmana family and have all 12 Brahminical qualities, but if he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmana family or to have Brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a Shvapacha or Chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his whole family. Whereas a Brahmana who is not a devotee but simply has Brahminical qualifications cannot even purify himself, not to speak of his family. The thing is to be engaged in devotional service. That is humility. We engage in devotional service. So immediately when we stop engaging in devotional service, we fall away from Krishna. And also when we dedicate our mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord, we become pure. We become Krishna's pure servant. And there's no more question of forgetting, you know, who we are. And we become very happy like that. That's why it's pleasing to Krishna also, pure devotional service. And so we have to. Sometimes the mind, you know, keeps us locked up. I just, for myself, how much the mind is like a subtle body. It's like, how can you leave your subtle body, you know? It's like, how can we leave it? But if we just engage in devotional service, fully in devotional service, it gives up. It leaves us. So the thing is to be engaged fully in devotional service. There is no other solution. There is no other way. And if we can accept that in the heart, there is no other way that I can become fully happy and like that, and engaging myself fully in devotional service. If we accept that, we just say, this is the truth. And we just accept it in our heart. Then the whole problem is solved. But if we allow the mind to doubt and keep us over, then we will think still that there is other ways to come around it. Ends up in like we are the enjoyers and the controllers. We see that now is like a festival, and it's a lot to do, you know. We just dive into the devotional service, and we see that when we do it, it's a little troublesome. We get some stress in the body. It's a little new, you have to gear up a little bit. It creates a little stress. Like tonight, I was waking up, you know, screaming for Nisinga there, because I know this happens when it's a little stress. I wake up and full of fear or something, I don't know. And, you know, it feels like it's enemies in the room, or I don't know, I'm just very scared. A little bit of pressure, but this Krishna protects us. I mean, any kind of pressure, any small things, you can say, and Krishna, he helps us. So we just continue engaging in devotional service fully, and it makes us really happy, actually. And you were wondering, why was are you wasting so much time speculating so much? Thinking so much about the same things over and over again. But when I completely just engage in devotional service, all the knowledge manifests. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojana. Jnanam Vairagyam. How is that word? That janayatya shivairagyam jnanam cha yada haituka, that by rendering devotional service to the personality of Godhead, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and vairagya, detachment. So that is the happy state. That is the happy state of life, when we have knowledge and we become detached from this world. Because these attachments are very much troubling us. You can be so happy, nice, you feel peaceful, and then some nice objects passes you. Or you feel inclined to, suddenly you come in a situation where you want to enjoy, and immediately agitation starts. The verse we read here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita was actually from Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so it just described a little bit here about the brahminical qualities, actually. A Brahmana must be perfectly religious. He must be truthful, and he must be able to control his senses. He must execute severe austerities, and he must be detached, humble, and tolerant. He must not envy anyone, and he must be expert in performing sacrifices and giving whatever he has in charity. He must be fixed in devotional service and expert in the knowledge of the Vedas. These are the 12 qualifications for a Brahmana. And all these qualifications develops in a devotee also. Because a devotee, a Vaishnava, is already a Brahmana. So the thing is to be fully engaged as a Vaishnava in Krishna's service. In the Mukta Phala Tika it is said, Shamadamas Tapashacham Kshanti Arjava Viraktaya Jnana Vijnana Santosha Satyas Tikye Dvishad Guna. Mental equilibrium, sense control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, simplicity, detachment. Theoretical and practical knowledge, satisfaction, truthfulness, and firm faith in the Vedas are the 12 qualities of a Brahmana. Almost as the same words in Bhagavad Gita. This comes because Lord Chaitanya, he worships, he glorifies Sanatana Goswami. Because he met Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami he was associating with the Muslims and things like that. Okay, so Hare Krishna. Close to the end. Thanks for listening. Any comments or questions? Yes. Why are they concerned about these things? Yeah, you can say it's all these words. No, they read the Vedas to get knowledge of Brahman, to have firm understanding of Brahma. I don't know exactly what they're saying, but I mean, to get Brahman realized, that's like a path they're on. But maybe that when you realize Brahman, then you don't have to read any more books. But before you have come to that stage, you must study. They say many strange things to Mayavadis. They say, you know, that the whole world is just a lump of ignorance. It's just ignorance that you forget that you're actually one. Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter what the Mayavadis say there. I can read it. Or maybe I don't have to read it, maybe. they say so many strange things. So you can say, why are they concerned with... they're actually spiritualists. Prabhupada says there are two kinds of spiritualists, devotees and impersonalists. They are spiritualists because they are quite austere. They follow, the principles of celibacy and all these things, moral life. But they don't have the Vaishnava understanding, or they don't accept the Vaishnava understanding. Of the position of a pure devotee. So why do they... and they don't accept Grihasthas into their group. They're all fallen. Everyone must be a sannyasi. Sounds like Maya. Yeah? Yeah. Yes, because Arjuna, he wanted to take, you can say in one sense, that path. No, I want to just renounce now and become a mendicant, a Mayavadi, you can say. But then he engaged in devotional service, of course. And that made him pure. So the Mayavadis, they are impure because they mukti manina. Manina means that they just think in their mind, I'm liberated. While they're not. So their jnana is not complete. They don't... it's just just an imagination like that. I'm sure we can get some support from Amoghi Prabhu about this topic, but it's quite what we have seen from the descriptions in Bhagavatam is that they have this idea that you have to be a sannyasi and you have to study the scriptures all the time in order not to fall down. And that was the advice Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately gave Lord Chaitanya when he heard, oh, you are taking sannyas? Why are you going around dancing? Yeah, why are you dancing, singing, associating with fallen people? Why are you fighting the battle of Kurukshetra? You could also add. Timon said, why are you doing this? You should sit down and study. So you come to my place, I will teach you. And but he was smashed. So that's why they do this study in order to stay fixed. And you see, sometimes the devotees also fall a little bit into this Mayavad tendency. We also, you know, I just want to sit down, study with my book. Then I feel like then oneness with Krishna when I sit down and study. It's like I have to be fixed in this knowledge. You know, I have to sit down and study. But we. Then, if we were like that, you know, that I can only engage in devotional service when I really have, you know, knowledge. But then we would never come to the point of engaging. So, but we should study. It's not that we should not study. We have to read Prabhupada's book every day. Every day. So any day you don't read? No, you read every day. Every day we should read. At least we should put half an hour, or at least minimum, every day. It's very important for a purification of the mind and our association with Srila Prabhupada like that in his books. It's said about Srimad Bhagavatam how important it is to study exactly, read such books. Yeah, so... We should not do as the Mayavadis, not engage in devotion. So with this study, they become fixed. They can stay on this, like a sannyasi, but ultimately they fall down into the material world again, in fruitive activities and material welfare work, because they have not developed attachment for Krishna. They didn't become attached to Krishna, to devotional service. And that's the only solution. So this is very important. Yeah. You see, even they study so much, and if we just sit down, I just want to read, you know, live my own, do my reading and study, and not engage in service, devotees will also drift away and become more like Mayavadis. But at the same time, we cannot only do a lot of service, thinking that, oh, I just want to do work. When it's japa, it's japa. We have to do austerity also. It's austerity. Spend time together in the morning, you know, come for the Mangalarti, sit down with the devotees and chant, concentrated, as my, you know, now it's the Purushottam month, and we should dedicate more be more sincere with our japa and our reading. So there is always time. If you prioritize, if you put priority on it. And this is very important for devotees. We cannot be like a Mayavadis, only sit and study Vedanta. And we cannot be like the fruity workers, just engage in hard work. But we must do both and balance everything with inner strong desire to with attachment for Krishna. Yeah, it's the perfection of life, highest perfection of life. It's not so cheap, but we are blessed. We are blessed by Krishna to be able to be in this movement and have the association of Srila Prabhupada in these books and be engaged in devotional service. It's just the best. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.